You're listening to a teaser for Book Riot Podcast premium content. If you want to hear the rest, join us at patreon.com/bookriotpodcast. For just $10 a month, get access to our full library of premium content, in addition to receiving early ad-free access to the regular episodes you hear in the show. Here we go.
All right, we're here to talk about our media diets, and I definitely know what Rebecca means by that, but I will be gentlemanly and let Rebecca explain it to you.
Sure. I mean, this is an expansion of a patron request for us to talk about what's in our podcast rotations. That was the original request. But I recall that you are not doing a ton of podcast listening these days.
I expanded some.
Okay. I think it was more interesting if we talked about sort of all the stuff that we're consuming and paying attention to, or the more interesting pieces of it. So I expanded it to media diet. That can mean really whatever you want it to mean. For me, it's some podcasts, some emails, a little TV. But I was thinking of it kind of as the more non-fiction-y of the things we take in.
Okay,
rather than the entertainment stuff. But I do have some entertainment as well. I don't know. This is, it's a wide open question.
So I organized this slightly differently because I thought about like, okay, how do I actually decide how I'm spending my media time, both entertainment and otherwise?
Yes.
And I've got three buckets.
Okay. So,
right. The first bucket is the four quadrant household time, right? Mm. Friday night with pizza, Sunday morning, you know, like when we're doing stuff. So that's where the, and that to me is, I'm trying to optimize for that in terms of we don't get that much time, and it's also difficult, right? That's an interesting, I've got a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, Michelle and I, and our ages weirdly are not the distinguishing factor based on what we're interested in. So something that we're all interested in is, that is the solid gold platinum. If I can find something or we can find something we enjoy together. So I thought I would just do some recent hits for people that may be doing four quadrant watching.
Yes.
We are now old enough at 10 where I can have Rowan watch sort of inappropriate things for her age and we still are fine. It's a great time. I'm so happy we're
that
here.
That is a fun age where they start to catch up to the jokes or like to start to be able to hear stuff. I do enjoy watching kids like start to get that gleam in their eye when they can keep up.
And every now and again, you get to describe what pegging is out of nowhere. So that's always fun.
You're watching Broad City with the kids, Jeff?
Well, if you're watching the Deadpool trailer or say something, we did the first two seasons of Only Murders in the Building, which doesn't have pegging, but there is these bassoon cleaners are, we think they might be sex toys. We describe what a sex toy is, you know, that's a good time for everyone.
You know, honestly, I would subscribe to the newsletter where you just explain the way you have answered these questions, because I think you come from the school that our mutual dear friend Amanda Nelson and former book writer comes from, where you just answer the question as directly and as dryly as possible. So it's accurate, but it's not titillating. And she's
you make it sound like it came out of the DSM-5. That's what I'm going for every time. Yeah.
She's got 13-year-old twin boys, and I get to watch this happen on a pretty regular basis, and it is so entertaining.
So that I think Amanda maybe has a better stone face than I do about it, knowing the differences between her and my personalities, but I think the general underlying theory is the same, which is there's no question we won't answer, but it is going to be presented as just the facts, ma'am, and it maybe sound more like a clinical diagnosis than people do for fun on their birthdays every year, if you know what I'm saying. So Only Murders in the Building, only Murders in the Building was a hit for all four of us. We enjoyed it. It was a little creepy for Rowan. Like we had to let's not watch it at night when like there's someone in our house trying to kill you. That's not amazing, but the vibe was fun. The whodunit is fun. There's enough broadness that we could laugh. But also, like, when we were, like, four episodes into season one, and she's like, I'm not sure, maybe too much, then she couldn't shut up about who did it and wanting to know what finds out. So, like, we're right on the edge there. So, it's like, it feels like a fun time. So, we're enjoying that. We'll probably get to some more of those.
That's good.
Right now, we are marathon watching Secrets of the Zoo Tampa, which is a documentary series on Disney+, which is behind the scenes of what it takes to run a zoo. So there's basically five major plot lines in the zoo documentary genre, and this is not our first of these. The Australian one, the Taronga Zoo in Sydney is amazing. Basically, there's five storylines. We're trying to get this weird animal pregnant. Oh no, this weird animal is pregnant. Oh weird, there's a weird mass on this animal. Oh no, we need to get the mass off the animal. We need to euthanize this animal. Or we're going to give this animal something weird to eat for those birthdays. So, and apologies to William Empson for the seven types of irony. There are seven types of zoo documentary plot lines, and those are them all, and I'll watch them every time. The thing is, the species are different. I've also decided that zoo veterinarians are underrated goats. Greatest of all time. Because one minute you're sonogramming an Indian snake for eggs, the next minute you're like, oh yeah, sometimes fruit bats have this kind of heart murmur. I know exactly the right kind of medication to give for them.
Yeah, that's real range.
So that is fascinating. On the family media diet, that's where we are right now. So I don't know if that's what you're thinking about, but that's bucket one. So I'll see to you for some bucket one-ness or wherever.
Yeah, I can mirror your buckets. Yep. We have, you know, what is the overlap of me and Bob in our viewing? So I'm always looking for that. And then that tends to be stuff like right now it's Masters of the Air and Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah. There's like a particular pocket of prestige stuff that we can both occupy together. Historically, it's been like Party Down was big in our household last year. The Bear. Those are things that we're going to watch together. And then I will watch a bunch of other stuff. So there's also my like individual prestige TV bucket that had Succession and Somebody Somewhere and Yellow Jackets in it last year. Oh, Severance was big for us collectively. Yeah. Whenever the second season of that comes out, we'll be very excited here. I'm catching up on Fargo. I watched 6 Feet Under over the holidays. That kind of stuff is frequently happening for me. I like to be pretty current. Watch an Abbott Elementary. And then there's like a half bucket of things that I'm watching when Bob is ambiently around and is like absorbing enough to kind of know who the people are. And I'm perpetually on the like, you would really like this if you would just pay full attention to it. But I tend to lose those battles. Thanks so much for listening. Join us at patreon.com/bookriotpodcast to hear the rest of this episode and get access to our full back catalog of premium content. That's patreon.com/bookriotpodcast.